Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shachtin Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening, generally at 8 o'clock, sometimes 9:30, sometimes 11 or 10. You can count on it to hear the facts and the truth in this broadcast. Nothing but facts, truth, and critical thinking. No political rhetoric, no lies, okay? No media falsehoods. Let me give you a little bit about how this show may work. There are certain elements of it that are present in my thinking. One is that I have a great dedication to literature, great literature such as Russian literature, such as Tolstoy or Dostoevsky, English literature such as Dickens and Thackeray, George Eliot, or American literature such as Sinclair Lewis and Walt Whitman. I have a great dedication to great literature and great books, which is what this show is partially founded on. Second, it has a theological emphasis, a faith emphasis. I am a Christian, and I'm not about to abandon that position. And the show reflects my beliefs in that respect. But I say this, that I welcome all faiths, all races, all persons, all thought systems. I'm willing to dialogue with them and hear them out, because I believe the face of Jesus can be found in every place, everywhere, in every person. His love is present, which gave up his life for humanity. And that love is overwhelming and very great, and is present in every single person's face that you may see. Third, this show has a political emphasis. I'm conservative in general, but I do follow the directions of Christ concerning poverty and the underclass people, and I respect them, and I try to help them. And so I'm not totally conservative, but I am concerned with the underclass and poor. Next, let me tell you a little about some more elements of this show. This is a politically incorrect show. It's not politically correct, and therefore we're not interested in political rhetoric. We're not interested in media lies or media falsehoods, etc. We're interested in getting at the facts and getting at the truth in honest intellectual discourse and honest discernment. We're trying to get at the truth and the facts in this show and nothing but. That's what we're interested in. That's what we're interested in getting at. They're interested in knowing and grasping and understanding. Next, I am a Christian, as I mentioned. I believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I believe in the creeds of the church, which I follow explicitly, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. I follow these creeds explicitly as the guides to my faith and as the truth of my faith. And I also adhere to the great Christian books of the past, such as C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Bonhoeffer, Calvin, Luther, St. Augustine, the epistles of Paul. And let me say about the epistles of Paul, to not having read the Paul, having read them many times, the canon of the epistles of Paul are the most profound and deepest religious thinker you can find in the world. Read them and find out. Read all these people and find out. Read St. Augustine and find out. Read his Confessions and find out what he has to say. And read St. Thomas Aquinas and find out what he has to say. All these people are great thinkers and great minds, and they're the best that you can know in terms of thought and intellect. Third, I have run two radio shows, Christian radio shows, this Blog Talk radio show and a podcast show. And these shows are Christian in orientation, but in fact, many, many people from many countries visit these shows. Over 4,000 visitors to the podcast show from 80 countries, and I've had many, many people reach out to my shows, these Christian shows, including many of my dear, dear, wonderful Muslim brothers and sisters who are very interested in this Christian thought. And I have a friend in Iran, a philosophy student, who is very interested in my Christian books, which indicates the intellect of the Muslim community in the world, that they read, and they read a lot. And they read a lot. And they read a lot of things that they are open to, and they read Christian content. And therefore, they're smart enough to do that. Only a very, very limited person will not do that, will not bother with it. In fact, they will, in fact, as Jesus says, they will lose their lives in this process not finding it. They will not find it on television. They will not find it on computers. They may find it in the Gospels if they read them. If they don't read them, they won't find it. Next, let's take a look at I'm a writer, and I've written 10 books, legal books and Christian books. I've written 2 books of select legal topics, volumes 1 and 2. I've read Christian books such as Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book of the interpretation of all 41 parables. Let me say this. I'm going to be talking about one of the parables tonight. The parables are the mind and thought of Jesus. We cannot read them enough. We cannot read his mind and thinking enough. We cannot grasp his great mind in these parables and in the Gospels as he presents himself. Unless we do that, we will know nothing, and we will gain nothing, and we will lose everything. When you read the Gospels, you read the mind of Christ, and when you read the words of the mind of Christ, you are raised up immensely in your thinking. If you don't do it, you won't be raised up. You'll remain at the ground, unknowledgeable, unthoughtful, thoughtless, and mindless. You'll be wasting your time. You'll be wasting your entire life, essentially. So I'm also writing other books. I have 4 books of blogs I'm writing. They're in the process of literary, religious, and political blogs. I'm writing those blog books, 4 books. I'm writing a book on the miracles of the Bible. I have just started that. I'm writing a book on pretrial motions, demands, and notices, a book on pretrial motions and hearings. That book is partially past 2 chapters written. It will take me some time to complete it, but I will complete it. And I also am writing a book on the book of Job, the Edomite, who was tried by God many times. The book of Job is a wonderful book. A great book, a book that we can't stop reading, that I can't stop reading and grasping. Its greatness is so great. I have written a book on the Psalms, my interpretation of all 150 Psalms, and I have. I recommend you read the Psalms, ladies and gentlemen. Don't miss them. They are spiritual food. John Donne said of them, the great Anglican preacher and poet, he said of the Psalms, they are the manna of the church. They are the way Jesus and God speaks to us. They are great lyric poetry. They are Jewish lyric poetry. They are Hebrew lyric poetry. They're great, and their greatness comes across in any translation. And I challenge you, as I challenge anyone, to read War and Peace or Dostoevsky in translation and read the Psalms in an English translation. And I ask you, which will you tire of first? You will not tire of the Psalms. I can guarantee that. Their greatness comes across in any language, any dialect, any way, and particularly in English. I've written 3 books, on the Syracuse Law Review, an article on criminal procedure, which has been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court, and also 2 articles in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, have been bought by the State Department. In 2 instances, these 3 books have been bought by many, many universities and libraries across the world, Africa, Asia, South America, and Europe and North America. Now I'm going to talk, ladies and gentlemen, about one of the parables, one of the great parables that commands our attention in every way, the parable of the 2 houses. Found in Matthew 7:24-27 and Luke 6:47-49. In Matthew it says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Christ is the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, but it did not fail, because it had been founded on the rock." So again, Jesus is saying in Matthew, that when you found your life on him, the rock, it will not be beaten down by the rains and wind. And everyone, Jesus says, who hears these words of mine and does not do them, if we don't pay attention to the words of Christ, we will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus says two things in Matthew, that when you build your house upon him, you build it upon a rock, which cannot be destroyed by either rain or flood or winds, how much they are beaten on him. And then he says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them, says, you have to hear his words and do them, then you will have your house built on a rock. But if you hear these words and don't do them, doing them is the key. You would be like a foolish man who built his on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. So when you don't build your house upon Christ, when you don't do his words, you will lose out. And your house will be like a house built upon sand, and the rains fell on the floods, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. Again, Luke 6:47-49, he says, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, the key is does them. He analogizes it. It is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon a rock, and when a flood came, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Again, it is built on the rock of Christ. And he says, more important, everyone who comes to me and not merely hears my voice and does them, his house will be built on a rock. And it cannot be shaken by the rains and the flood and the stream of water because it had been well built on the rock of Christ. But he who hears and does not do what Jesus says, you don't do it. Doing or not doing is the key. It's like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, against which the stream broke, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So here we have it here. It's hearing and doing, founded your life on the rock of Christ, which cannot be shaken and cannot be destroyed. And the alternative, not building your life on Christ, building a house on sand without a foundation where the rains destroy it and the ruin of your house occurs. So in this parable of these two gospel passages, Jesus tells us that those who hear and understand his message will be like a man who has built his house upon a rock, or as Luke says, dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The rock is Christ. Jesus says that when the rain fell, when the floods came and the winds and rain broke against the house, they couldn't shake it because he was the foundation. And then he says that everyone, this is the key, who hears his word and does not do them, you know, it's doing or not doing, is like a foolish man who built his house upon the ground or the sand without a foundation, and the rains fell and the floods came and the streams broke and the house fell. In this parable, I think the message of Jesus is very clear. Unless we heed and believe what he tells us and do what he tells us and live what he tells us, we are like a house built upon the sand that can be shaken. Should we in some way in our lives, either actually or implicitly, build our lives on sand or a false foundation, we will be swept away at the last and final judgment. That's really what he's saying. He says, unless we heed and believe and do what he tells us, we are like the house built upon the sand that can be shaken. And should we in some way in our lives, either actually or implicitly, build our lives on this false foundation of sand, we will be swept away at the last and final judgment. In that sense, should we not live our life in relation to Christ and follow his teaching as to what we should do, the judgment will sweep us away as the house built on sand. He tells us in the parable that he's the rock and the foundation for the authentic life, that we should build our lives, our egos, our wealth, and our looks. We shouldn't build it on that basis. When he comes, if we do that, we will have been built our house on sand, and be swept away and destroyed as persons. So he tells us that he is the rock and foundation for authentic life. Should we build our lives on ourselves, our egos, our wealth, our looks, whatever idol we may choose to erect, that will not work for us when the end comes. As the house built on sand, we will be swept away and destroyed as persons. We can only exist as persons in relation to Christ and his command. Without him, without the rock and foundation, we will have nowhere to go and will be taken away, but swept aside, having failed to be fully human and take advantage of the opportunity and chance he offered us to be with him in sonship. I say the alternative, he tells us, should we not lay our lives in a foundation in him, is abysmal failure and a fate of nothingness. This is the key. Building on the rock is building on Christ, and therefore we will build our lives correctly and truly. That if he is the rock and foundation for the authentic life, we build our lives on our egos, our wealth, our looks, or whatever idol we may choose to erect, that will not work. When the end comes, we will be swept away as the house built on sand. We can only prosper and build and exist in relation to Christ and his command. Without him, without the rock and foundation, he describes, we will be swept away and taken away, but swept aside and failed, be human, and take advantage of the opportunity and chance for eternal life he offers us to be with him and grow with him in sonship. The alternative, he tells us, should we not lay our lives in a foundation with him on the rock, is abysmal failure and destruction and nothingness. I hope you enjoyed this little parable. I'm going to talk about it again tomorrow night. We can find it in chapter 8, the parable of the two houses. And I suggest you read the chapter, if you feel that I have something to say, and read Matthew 7:24-27, if you are interested in what Jesus says in this parable of the two houses, and also Luke 6:47-49, if you're interested in what Jesus has to say. For me, everything Jesus has to say is critical and of paramount importance, and we cannot read it enough and reflect on it enough and understand it enough. If you can understand it, nobody can understand the mind of God. You can only try and make an attempt. I hope you've enjoyed this talk. Good night.